All right. Welcome to the Lovable Lawyer Podcast. Week 2, Episode 7. Very excited to be with you guys. And great topic today, hot one in the world of estate planning. And as we kind of troll around different estate planning issues and probably do this for a while with a new podcast and potentially, you know, branch into a few different legal topics here and there and maybe even some non-legal planning kinds of things, you know, related to life insurance and whatnot. But excited to jump in today. Florida estate planning in particular is pretty crazy when it comes to second marriages. So I may use some examples from Florida, even though this is really, you know, an issue no matter what state you're listening in. And examples on estate planning second marriages. Quite a few years ago, I had a very charming client come into the office, one of the most memorable of my clients to date. And she and her husband came in, and they were very charming. They were in their late 70s at the time, and they wanted to do some planning, and they were a second marriage. And so they had kids from previous marriages. The older people get, the greater the chance that there would be a second marriage, obviously. So we decided to do a joint trust for them. That was what they wanted. They were very harmonious in their relationship and in their goals. And so we did that trust and went through that process with them. And that just means that you do one trust for the couple, and then you say in the trust what happens upon the first spouse and the second spouse to pass and these kind of things. So in that trust, we basically had the surviving spouse maintaining all of the assets for their life and then assets passing to their mutual beneficiaries upon the last spouse passing. And what happened in that case is that some years later, he passed away, and lo and behold, his family members started coming out of the woodwork and wondering where their share of his assets were. So including his kids. And that's the thing that can happen with second marriages, is just that you get a lot more adversarial kind of behavior upon the first spouse passing because you don't have the same loyalty as if it was your own kids. And obviously, even with your own kids, there's friction and issues that can come up, and there'll be some war stories, you know, to talk about in future episodes. But so this war story, basically a lot of the assets in the trust had actually been hers, so that compounded things. And so what we decided to do was just do a new trust simply in her name and move her assets into it. And then she diplomatically dealt with his side of the family and gave some things to them and was able to, because she was a very charming person, able to handle the fallout without too much in terms of things going sideways. However, things could have if they had been very litigation minded or you know, whatnot. The estate could have been jeopardized, and her actual inheritance could have been jeopardized, eaten up in legal fees and these kind of things. So with second marriages, you always have complications. And of course, if I were to handle that matter now, I would maybe put a few more precautions on the estate. And you live and learn. That's why they call it practice, I guess. But anyway, so that was that's an example, though. And what I may have done is simply do two trusts. Sometimes two trusts can be a very good solution for second marriages, or you make the trust irrevocable upon the death of the first spouse, or you just get really clear about how different beneficiaries are going to be treated and spell it out in vivid detail in the trust. So those are just the kinds of options that you can have, you know, when you're dealing with second marriages and kids from previous marriages. So with that example in mind, you know, what kinds of things can be done in terms of, you know, making sure there aren't issues with second marriages? So one of the things that comes up immediately is just that, you know, you have to do some planning. So if you have second marriages, you definitely can't leave it to chance because of the intestacy laws. So in every state, you have this body of law that kicks in the event that there's no will or no other planning. That's basically that the state has a plan for you, you know, regardless of whether you have one or not, and if you don't have one to override it, then the state's plan will kick in, and they call that intestacy. So in intestacy, marriage has a lot of weight, and it really doesn't matter which state you're in. However, in the state of Florida, it's pretty powerful. Got a couple different things going on. You got what we call the homestead laws, which are pretty powerful in Florida. And you also have what's called the elective share. And so basically, and in many states, that elective share right rears its head in some form or another. So what that means is if there's no plan, or if there is a plan that the surviving spouse doesn't like, they can actually move to set it aside and say that I'm going to take my elective share. So and this actually happened a couple episodes ago when we were talking about the Joe Robbie estate and what happened with that. There was a big pile of assets, the Miami Dolphins football team and the stadium that he'd spent, you know, millions of dollars of his own money to purchase those things. And he had had a plan in place, actually, that was going to provide some lifetime support for his wife. And she basically said, I don't want that. I want actually 30% of the estate right now. And what she was doing was she was claiming that under the statutory elective share in Florida. And she was allowed to do that. They said, we don't recommend it because it's going to create huge problems. She said, well, that's too bad. And so they ended up selling the team and having to take a bath on it and the stadium at what they called fire sale prices. So that is an extreme example of the kind of things that can happen. And of course, you know, Joe Robbie probably would have never intended that to happen, and maybe was rolling in his grave or whatever, you know, with that. So the answer then is to have a plan that doesn't allow the elective share and doesn't allow the spouse to go ahead and set it aside. And there's ways, and one of the biggest ways to do that, and we'll jump right in, is a nuptial agreement. So a prenup or postnup will basically provide for waivers and homestead waiver in Florida if you're doing a Florida prenup or postnup. And, you know, the elective share rights are waived and these kind of things. So a prenup or postnup is not just for divorce. It's also for estate planning. People do not realize that. I would say 9.5 out of 10 people wouldn't realize that. And even attorneys wouldn't often realize that. And so, you know, it is for estate planning. And it's a very powerful way to contractually set aside the marital laws that can derail your estate plan. I've actually done some writing on that. And it's a major topic that is out there that needs to be learned. So, so a big way then to deal with elective share and homestead, prenup, postnups. Prenups are better than postnups, in my opinion, because they actually have what we call consideration attached to them. And what that means is that you could argue that you wouldn't have gotten married except for the prenup. So therefore, that prenup needs to be enforced. It's just a question of enforcing it, a court enforcing it. A postnup can be argued, well, why would they? What was their benefit to signing it? And that, so you would say that there wasn't consideration, and that's one way that you could challenge a postnup. So unless they got something big, maybe they got a pile of assets or something like that, that can help that. So those are things, you know, the elective share, homestead, prenups and postnups, you know, the other, and those are probably the best ways to handle it. The other way to get to make sure, perhaps, that this is the other side of it, that if you don't have a plan in say the state of Florida again, and somebody were to, you know, one spouse dies and the couple is living in the home that was purchased, say, by the husband prior to the marriage, and it wasn't titled in both spouses' names. So what can happen is that a court can find that the surviving spouse can have it for life, but that it's got to go to his kids upon her passing. In this example, he died first. So, you know, that's another thing. Like, you want to do joint titling if you want to make sure that your second spouse or is protected, doesn't have to compete with the kids, then you also want to plan for that reason. So that's the other side of it. On one hand, you're wanting to protect the kids, perhaps, and those assets, those family assets, from sort of the gold digger syndrome, which this is all kind of got that in the background. Let's be honest. People are thinking prenup, postnup, the younger, you know, young hottie spouse or whatever. But you also have situations where the kids get pretty predatorial And so you want to make sure and cover those things in terms of, you know, in terms of the planning that's being done. And the other thing that you can do, I should mention, is A/B trust planning. You know, you split up the assets. I touched on this, what I may have done in the case, you know, the story that I mentioned at the beginning, the podcast. And you can do separate trusts for people and keep their assets separate, and you can kind of say whatever you want in those separate trusts. Of course, this is all very flexible, and there's a lot of different things that can be done. So these are just examples for education purposes, and hope that makes sense. And so keep the ideas and comments and topics coming. Guys, we will continue to roll out things that we believe are important to you. We appreciate it. Good to be with you guys. We'll talk to you in the next podcast. Thanks.